Christians, we should be able to mature in such a way that it will impact. God wants us to impact the world because we're co-laborers with him. So let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll move right into our presentation. Eternal God, our Father, we come this morning to say thank you for this day. We thank you for this time, for this hour, for allowing us to understand just how important it is for us to walk with you and to take time to develop a fellowship with you. And until we have a firm and a solid foundation with you, Lord, we really can't impact nobody else's lives. So we thank you and we praise you for allowing us the opportunity to study your word. So I pray that you be with us now. Guide our thinking and allow us to focus on you in Jesus' name's sake. Amen. I want to share with you an illustration. It was two brothers that had just walked out of church service. And as they were walking to their automobiles, one of the brothers looked at the other one. He said, "You know, man," said, "I bet you that you don't know the Lord's Prayer." And the other guy looked at him and said, "What you mean I don't know the Lord's Prayer?" He said, "That's a bet. How much you want to bet?" So the other guy said, I have a $10 bill in my pocket. Said, "I'll give you that $10 bill if you can say the Lord's Prayer." Brother say, "All right." He said, "You ready?" The guy say, "I'm ready." So he said, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." Another guy that made the bet looked at him, and then he put his hand in his pocket. He said, "Man," said, "I didn't know you knew it." We, so oftentimes, Christians who are not in Bible study, who are not being impacted by God's word, we come up illiterate when it comes to understanding what his word teaches. And you cannot apply to your life what you do not know. Amen. So as you look at your handout in the introduction, it says so many people today are looking at exercise regimens, diet fads, some mental and spiritual disciplines they think will make their lives exponentially better in the coming year. And they do. We invest in these things. But there's nothing wrong with none of those above. But I can't help but think there are some other disciplines that will make a difference for eternity. Amen. Only what we do for Christ will what? Last. And you know, if you have your Bibles with me, we're going to be using the Bible this morning. So turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to read something to you that impacts what and how we should be looking as Christians, as believers in Christ, as God's representative and co-laborers. Amen? When you get there, you can say amen. Looking at verse 1, Paul says, "Or do we again begin to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some other epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you?" But listen at what Paul says. He says, "You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Every one of us ought to be an epistle. Every one of us ought to be presenting ourselves in such a way that when people see you or me, they see what the Lord looks like. Amen? And so as you look at your handout, back at your handout, it says many of us would love to have healthy bodies, you know, because diet is a thing today. And if you're not a fat Christian, you're on a diet. If you're not faithful, available, and teachable, you are on the wrong diet. Okay? And so we want to be successful and prosperous. And Joshua 1:8 makes it clear. He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, number one. And he says, you shall what? Meditate on it day and night. But he doesn't stop there. He says to do according to all that's written in it. And when you do, he says it will make your life prosperous and you will have what? Much success. So you want to be prosperous and you want to be successful, you need to be grounded in the Lord. Not only just knowing his word, but we have to understand what it is to apply that word to our lives. And secondly, take it a step further. We need to implement it. To know something and not do it, not good formula, is it? And so, what is spiritual discipline? Spiritual disciplines can be described as those behaviors that facilitate spiritual growth, which enable us to become great commission Christians. Every one of us, you can fill in as you go. If I'm going too fast, let me know. God wants us to be great commission Christians. What's a great commission Christian? A great commission Christian is one who knows what God wants. He understands, based on Matthew chapter 6, where we talk about the Lord's prayer or the example that the Lord had given. He says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Where? On earth. Amen. And as too many of our churches don't even have the kingdom agenda in mind. Amen. We have Pastor Pollard sitting here, a great church, a word church, right here at Berrien, a word church. Most of the pastors that's in here have word-driven churches. Amen. When you go there, you're going to either embrace it and learn the word, or you're going to leave, because the word will do one of two things. It will drive us or either draw us. Amen? And so we see here as we look, and you want to be a great commissioned Christian, Psalm 119:11, one of the things that we need to do as we live our lives each day is allow God's word to be what? Hid where? In our heart. Not just there, but being able to regurgitate that word. When circumstances and situations occur in our lives, so that we can allow that word to be instrumental in our lives and transforming us, so that we can really look like Great Commission Christians. God wants us to make disciples. One of the areas that we fail in too often time as a Christian is evangelizing people in our own family. Amen. We don't want to say the wrong thing. We don't want to upset anybody. We want to keep everything smooth. And God opens the door for us to evangelize. And I've been guilty early on. Won't even open your mouth when the opportunity presents itself. Amen? Discipline is defined as training expected to produce a specific character or pattern of behavior. That's what discipline does. I remember some years ago, I went to my family physician, and even then, diets was big. So I said, Dr. Cleo, I want to diet. I want to lose the weight. You say I need to be at this number. How do I do it? So he looked at me. He said, what kind of diet do I need to go on? He said, none. I said, well, what do I do? He said, if you're eating 2 pounds of food a day, start eating one. See, that takes discipline. Not to want to eat that much. And by the time you continue doing that, you would have disciplined yourself in such a way as to not to eat too much. Amen? Because the greatest exercise is this one. I mean, for a lot of us, isn't it? It's hard. But anyway, we see that Jesus modeled a consistent pattern, and he did. He modeled a consistent pattern of spiritual discipline during his earthly ministry. And if Jesus, who is God, had to learn discipline, amen, then how much more should we do as mere mortals the same? And to accomplish goals or to do great things in life in glorifying God, it requires what? Discipline. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58 says what? Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. Amen. You don't stop. Amen. Sometimes we say we're retiring from everything. I've heard people in church say, oh, I've done this so long, I don't need to do it anymore. Jesus did not stop performing ministry until he died. Amen. We have a responsibility. If God puts breath in your body, amen, for you, so that you can speak, so that you can talk, so that you can share the good news, even if you're sick, amen, you can tell somebody about Jesus. I remember there was a pastor I knew by the name of name will come back in a minute. He was on his deathbed, Pastor Tate, Nathal Tate, on his deathbed. And every time somebody would come in that room, he'd have a track, say, look, you know Jesus? He was witnessing till the Lord took him home. Amen. Spiritual discipline. He had disciplined himself that he was going to tell people about the Lord. Amen. And so look back with me, and also let me mention this. In John chapter 10, verse 27, the Lord makes this statement. He says, my sheep, my those who belong to me, they hear my voice. Then he says, I know them. And then they do what? They follow me. Now, every one of us ought to look in the mirror every time we think of that. Am I following? Am I doing what God wants me to do? Am I obeying this? Because he made it clear. If you love me, if, that's the word, it's conditional. See, we all jump up and talk about loving him. But the moment we move into a situation or a crisis that impacts our lives, oh, well, one writer said, that's when we call on the Lord. Amen. The purpose of spiritual discipline, you look back at your handout, is the development of our inner being. That's what goes in that blank. The development of our inner being, that which has been transformed by Christ at salvation. Okay? We've been transformed. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creation. Old things are what? Passed away, and behold, all things, you know, the moment we get saved, our position in Christ is fixed. Paul says in Romans, we already been justified, sanctified, and glorified. They are past tenses. Amen? And one writer said this, the picture is that Jesus has us on the potter's wheel. And he is spinning us around trying to get all the dross off. Yeah, all the sinful practices that we have. But when he looks up, he sees us completely glorified. Amen. But we're still on that wheel. And so we need to understand that our inner man is being renewed. Is that right? See, redeemed believers have experienced the total renewal of the whole body from within, involving differences. This is that blank. Differences in our thought, differences in our feeling, differences in our character. And if those things have not begun to change in your life, all right, then you're either a spiritual babe in Christ or maybe you got your salvation at Sears. Well, watch this. The Lord made this clear in Matthew 7. Many will say to me in that day, all right, Lord, Lord. And we see that on TV all the time, and we know good and well some of those folk that are saying that, if they say, amen. Paul says that as Christians, as we continue to grow in Christ, understanding our differences, that may be slower to be evident in our outward behavior. Some of us don't grow as fast, amen? You know, just to sum up a little bit of what Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verses 17 through 20, he made it clear, when I want to do the right thing, and when Paul wrote this letter here, had been a Christian about 35 years, he's still struggling. Amen, he's still struggling. And you know we are too. Many of us don't want to admit it. I'm going to be the first to admit it. There are times, you know, you can be sitting there and thoughts come from places. Dreams occur. See, the enemy is not sleep. He's at work. And when we think we've arrived, he's laughing. He says, I got you. Amen. So we need to understand, looking back at your handout, this is what Paul had in mind when he spoke of taking off the old self, putting on the new, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of our Creator. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, so that we, and someone stand and read verses 9 and 10. Colossians 3. Does everybody have it? Okay, go ahead. All right? Thank you. I use an illustration sometimes, and this is how we can be. It'd be foolish for me to go home knowing that we're going out. I go home, take a bath, and then put back on the same underwear. But that's what we do at times. Amen? We don't take and leave the old thing off. That's the purpose for hiding God's word in our heart, so that those areas that we're struggling with, when we are going through difficult times, God the Holy Spirit can regurgitate that word for that specific purpose. Amen. Just like if you have a problem with your mouth, Ephesians 4:29 tells us, do not let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That ought to be coming up so that, oops. That's developing. Amen. I want to, as you look at your handout, I want us to turn to page 2. And we're going to begin at the top so that we can move down through the spiritual disciplines. But I want to say one other thing about spiritual disciplines here. Yes, plenty. They're down here. That is, spiritual disciplines generally used in Christian circles can be found in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. And this is important, where the Apostle Paul exhorted Timothy, train yourself, that goes in that blank, train yourself to be godly. See, practice makes what? I remember reading about Michael Jordan when he went to North Carolina, and he didn't make the team at first. He didn't give up. He did not stop his quest for being the greatest basketball player. Amen. He went back into the gym and he began to train and to train and train. He developed the game. See, for us as Christians, we want to come to church on Sunday and forget about Bible study. See, we think that we can pick up enough on Sunday and we don't need to do anything else. Imagine, if you would, where you work and are employed and you want to get ahead and get a raise and get a new position. You think you're going to just sit there and not grow in that area? Think you're not going to study to see what you have to do to qualify for the next step? And we work hard at doing it. And that's temporary. Listen to me, it's temporary. Amen. Why can't we have the same mindset for Christ? Churches tell you to come back in the evening at 4 o'clock. It's like talking to that wall, because people are not coming back. We have too many other things. The world, the culture, has infected the church. Look. The New American, back at your handout, Standard Bible words it, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. It uses the Greek word gymnazo, for which we get the English word gymnastic. And gymnastics means that you're doing what? Exercise. Amen. You're not just sitting around doing nothing. Therefore, God is saying to us that we must discipline ourselves in order to do what? Luke 9:23, a great verse. If you turn there, this is the true cost of discipleship. One of the greatest gifts we can give our families is that they see that we have fallen in love with Jesus. And too many Christians have lost their first love. Verse 23, somebody stand up and read that for us. Deny himself, take up your cross, and then he said, follow me. That's important. We follow the Lord as he leads us in obedience. He wants us to be instrumental in the life of someone else. Now watch this. But it begins with the closest person to us. Amen. It could be your children, could be your spouse. But whoever that is, we're New Testament priests. And particularly for the men, you're the priest of your home. Amen. So look, as we embrace the year 2018, there are five spiritual disciplines that will truly change us forever. Number one, prayer. Amen. Number two, fasting. Number three, scripture reading. Number four, worship. And we're going to see that worship is just not coming into church, getting your step in. It's getting a step in every day. And last, service. So looking at prayer, the most basic definition of prayer is talking to God. Prayer is the communication of the human soul with the Lord who created the soul. I have here 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 3 through 13, dealing with Jehoshaphat. Great prayer. Amen. Turn there just for a minute, and then we'll turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. A great prayer. And he cried out to the Lord. Amen. Everybody, somebody just read verses 3, 4, and 5. You mind standing if you can? Hold it right there. You can't seek God if you're out of fellowship with him. You know, we need to be clear about that, because people just say, oh, yeah, you just go. No, you have to be in fellowship with God, because if you regard iniquity in your heart, God will not hear. Go ahead. Amen. Five. All right. We're not going to linger there because of our time. But just in essence, he sought God. because one of the statements that he makes here that is profound is verse 12. He says, O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But, hallelujah, our eyes, not on the White House. See, not looking to Trump. Amen. Not looking to man, but our eyes are on the Lord. Amen. That's where we're looking. You know, I was looking at, I love Peanuts and Snoopy. And I was looking at one comic strip frame they had there, and they were on a pier, and Peanuts was sitting by Snoopy, and the reading said, sometimes the most ordinary things could be made extraordinary simply by doing them with the right people. Profound. See, and we forget that we need to do more right things with the Lord. Amen? Look back at your handout. Prayer is our way of communicating with God. Is that right? We pray to praise God and thank him and tell him how much we love him. Through that, we get. But I want to skip down. If you can skip down to where it says, let's look at Luke 9, 28 and 29. Prayer should change our outlook on how we see and respond to the situations that take place in our lives. Because as Jesus is praying, he's transfigured in front of the disciples. Is that right? When you pray, or when I pray, change is inevitable. The conditions may not change. The circumstances might remain the same, all right? But prayer changes how you and I respond to the situation. Amen. One time you might have gotten all upset and bent out of shape, but now because of who God is in my life and because of how I'm trusting him and trusting in the Lord with all my heart, because I know he's going to take care of things. Amen. You might plan your way, but God will do what? He'll order your steps. All you've got to do is walk with the Lord and know that prayer can change things. Don't get tired of praying. Pray, continue to knock, ask, and seek. Because the God we serve, he's a way maker. Lord, have mercy. He can open doors, and nobody can close them. Discipline, too, is fasting. We're going through some of them so we can finish on time. Dr. Tony Evans describes fasting as the deliberate abstinence from some form of physical gratification to achieve a greater spiritual goal. We all love food. Amen. And food is a gift from God, and we love it. Dr. Evans said, our purpose for fasting is to achieve a greater spiritual goal. The word fast in Hebrew means to cover the mouth. In the Greek, fast means to abstain from food. Amen. And you know how we are. We're going to say, well, I'm going to abstain from TV or something else. But we must abstain from food. Amen. When we fast, our spirit man is taking control over soul and our body. He should. Our spirit is saying to the other parts of us, I'm in control and we're fighting it. Is that right? That's what we're saying. But we need to understand that experiencing this kind of discipline will allow us to grow in our faith. It helps your inner man know that you can have authority. Now let's look down to discipline 3. If you see me afterwards, I will help you fill in these blanks that we're missing, okay? All right, scripture reading. When one purchases a new car, new automobile, it's supplied with an owner's manual. And you know how we get a new car or even a good used one, and we open the owner's manual, man, we're just reading. Oh, Lord. Really? I mean, we are taking our time to digest the information so that we can know how that automobile works. Well, there's a better plan than that one. It tells you how this man here works. It knows this man better than this man does. Amen. God does. All of that scripture is given by what? The inspiration of God. Profitable. So, as I indicated here, the scriptures are an operation manual for human life. And God's words help us learn from the lives of others on how to live as he intended. There's no other book written that when you read the Old Testament talks about the flaws of people. I mean, lying, cheating, having more than one wife. All of it's right in there. It's there. You see it played out before us in black and white. But they never took their eyes off the prize. You know, football player, if I was a runner and I'm giving the ball, I may get tackled, but I still have my eyes on that goal. I know where I want to go. I know how I need to get there. Just because you bombard me once in a while, Satan, sometimes you trip me up and put landmines in my path, spiritual landmines. It does not stop me from being what Christ wants me to be. Amen. Paul said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. That's what I want. That's what I'm striving for. Don't you know the more we look like Christ, the more we're going to impact people's lives? Amen. So scripture reading, 3 things. We are, number one, we are fed by the word. You can write that in there. We are fed by the word. Number two, we are washed by the word. And you know good and well, every one of us got to wash our bodies. Amen? At least I hope we do. We use Dove soap. But there's one washing based on 1 John 1:9 that's done by God the Holy Spirit that cleans you up. Amen. And makes you right before God. That inner man washing, that man can't wash. Amen. Only God can do that. Only he can clean you up. If you walk in the light as he is in the light. And we have fellowship with him. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ, it does what? Washes me. It cleanses me from all sin. Amen. Thirdly, we are educated with the word. Oh, Lord. Hosea says, my people perish because of what? A lack of knowledge. Discipline number four, worship. What is worship? Worship means to honor, it means to reverence and homage paid to a superior being or power. We know who that is in our lives or two. It's God. Is that correct? And we're living in an age of idolatry, rejection of God, and a culture that is completely anti-God. And it is. And we got Christians today, and they're living their lives in such a way, prayer is not even an integral part of their lives anymore. Prayer to them is just like having a spare tire. You only take it out when you need it. We only come on God, call on God at times when we're in dire straits. Where are you, God? He want to know, well, where were you when you were doing good? I didn't hear from you. Oh, yeah, when we're not in the valley, we don't talk to him like we should. And that's the time you ought to be more thankful, so that when the valley experiences come, you know God's walking with you. See, because when he's walking with you when you're on a mountaintop, you ain't got to worry about the valley. You know, the psalm tells us that. Yeah, do I walk what? Through the valley. But God is what? With me. Worship. Let me say one thing about worship before we move to discipline five. John 9, verse 31 says this. But we know that God does not hear sinners. Period. But if any man is a worshiper of God, comma, and does his will. See, don't leave that out. And does his will, he hears. See, right back to loving, right? If you love me, keep my command. If you're not obedient, God's not hearing you. All right? Worship is every day. In John 4, it says the Father is seeking such. What? To worship him. Worship him in your home. If you're single, get up in the morning with prayer. Go through the day, pray to the Lord. Going to bed at night, pray to the Lord. If you're married, take your spouse, pray with her every morning. Pray for her when she goes away from you. Pray when you come back. Pray when you go to bed. Pray together. Read that word together. Why? How can two walk together? Discipline five, service. We are to live like Christ. Then service becomes a vital element that is not an optional exercise. Jesus made it quite clear in Matthew, go therefore and do what? Make disciples. The Lord gives each one of us unique ministry arenas in which we are to serve him. Is that right? Service is one of the tools God uses to teach us his virtues. Brothers and sisters, God wants you and me to apply his word and implement his word into our lives so that others will take notice and God is what? Glorified. Is that right? Because we are his co-workers. He said in John 12:32, if I be lifted up, if I be lifted up, I will do what? If we lift him up, how do we lift him up? How do we glorify God? By putting him on display in our lives. On page five, I want to read the top of this page to you. It says, as we develop these five disciplines, prayer, fasting, reading the scripture, worship, and services to impact our lives and to impact the world. R.E.O. White made this statement. In the tensions of such worldliness, the Christian ever lives. Not of the world, redeemed from it, independent of it, but sent back to minister to it. Living within the power of the world to come, knowing that the world is God's. Amen? See, even though we may go through some difficult times, as one writer said when he was talking to this white fellow, was talking to this old black man that was sitting there reading the Bible. He said he was reading Revelation. And he said, well, how do you know how things go in? He said, because the battle's been won. See, the battle's been won. The victory was won on Calvary. A disciplined life. I want to close with this. Joseph. In Genesis, was a man who loved the Lord. As a young boy, God came to him in a dream. Is that right? Yes, sir. But his brothers, because of the father's love for him, which he did not administer right, made the brothers jealous, so they wanted to kill him. Put him in a cistern, told a lie to the daddy, and sold him into Egypt. But watch this. One thing the Bible says about Joseph, I love it. And the Lord was with Joseph, which meant Joseph had continual prayer with the Lord. He had a relationship, see? And when he went to Pharaoh's house was blessed because of his presence. And the question is your house blessed because of you being there? That's the question. Then his wife accused him of rape, and when Potiphar put him in jail, in prison, when he should have been killed, it says, and the Lord was with Joseph. Lord, put him in jail and he rearranged the jail. The owner of the jail said, I ain't had to do nothing. I just leave Joseph in charge. Now listen, this is a disciplined man. Spiritual disciplines was active in his life. He was walking with the Lord. He was praying with the Lord. He was doing what the Lord wanted him to do. And he even, like most of us, got a little upset. Man, this sure is taking a long time. I told the bacon butler, the dreams, and he released one. He forgot all about me. But one thing about it, man might forget about you. God don't. In his time, he lifted Joseph up, put him in charge, blessed the nation of Israel as it was then. Did you hear me, my brothers and sisters? Why? Because spiritual discipline was active in Joseph's life. Amen. I'm going to ask Pastor Pillard to close us in prayer. Yes. Let's give God some praise. Amen. Isn't it good? Amen. Amen. Thank you. Sir? Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. You're welcome.
That was awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Opened up some understanding for me. Thank you.
Thank you.
What you're talking about, Doc. That was outstanding.
Thank you, sir.
Man,
thank
that
you.
Was awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I can go share with my class.
That was really awesome.
Thank you. I thank the Lord.
Very, very, very well done. Very well done.
I was up this morning, 5 o'clock. With the Lord, me and him.
That was the right place to be.
That's right. Let me get the others for you.
Because he gave you what you needed, Doc.
You know he did.
He worked it out for you.
You know he did.
Doc, he worked it out for you.
Yeah, wait, I'm going to get the first one.
It really was, really, really was excellent.
Thank you. You know, another...
Yeah.